I want to talk today. I don't really want to preach to. I just want to talk from what's in my spirit today. I want to talk about, I've been reading this book, and there's a movie being made out of it, but I haven't seen the movie. When I went to Cairns, my good wife bought me a book, and it's called Dunkirk. And it's about the British retreat and evacuation during World War II. And some people have called it the 8-day miracle because it was a time where England's army, the Allies, the British, the Belgians and the French, went into France to attack the Germans, which was a righteous cause. And as they attacked, and as they pursued and prosecuted the war, they began to lose. And the Nazi panzer tanks were too strong for them, and they overwhelmed them. And they just kept getting pushed back and pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. And they got pushed back right to the port of Dunkirk and other ports. And in the end, the British Navy had to come and evacuate them. And they thought they'd be lucky, out of an army of 500,000, they thought that they'd be lucky to get 30,000 men out of there and back to England on ships. And the enemy would simply capture or destroy the rest of them. But in the end, they evacuated over 6 or 7 days, 8 days. They evacuated over 400,000 men. That was become known as the miracle of Dunkirk. But for a good while there, the people felt as though they were confounded. The British were confounded because, though they thought they were fighting a good cause, the right cause, they had been at what felt like they'd been defeated. Yet what felt like temporary defeat was actually the beginning of a glorious victory. And I tell that story because, or recall that event in history, because in the Christian life, we battle. And after you've become a Christian, and if you want to be used by God, God is going to use you. You encounter a spiritual battle. And we as Christians, we are those who've been reconciled to God and determined to build the kingdom of God. As we do that, as we pursue that, trying to bring other people into the kingdom of God, out of the kingdom of darkness, and Satan is the prince of this world, we're trying to bring people out of his kingdom into the kingdom of God, we actually do so in the midst of battle. And the Bible says our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And so for a Christian to do well, one of the first things a Christian needs to do is have a battle mentality. That there are seasons where the Christian life is war. Paul says towards the end of his life, he made it and he was about to attain the crown of righteousness. He was about to die and leave this world. And he says, I fought the good fight. I fought the good fight. I ran the race. I kept the faith. The first part of that was he fought a good fight. And Christians need to be aware that we need to be able to fight against dark powers of wickedness which come against us. And in my experience of the Christian life, many, many times when we enter a spiritual battle, we can put on our armor, we can do all the things we're taught to do, we can put on the breastplate of truth, that means keep truthful, the breastplate of righteousness, just be righteous in our character, helmet of salvation, keep our thoughts, God's thoughts. We can do all these things And we can take our stand. The battle, the devil might be fighting against your marriage. He might be fighting against your future. Might be, you just may know. You may have oppression of the mind. All the things the enemy tries to bring against you to stop you being effective. Might be trying to bring a depression, or it might be trying to put a sickness on you. And we need to know how to war and how to battle when those moments come. Who experiences and know what they experience when they experience spiritual oppression? When the enemy comes to fight against them. He'll fight against the church corporately. He'll fight against the family. He'll fight against people individually. And we're told in Ephesians 6 that we need to take our stand. We need to resist. Sometimes those attacks are ferocious attacks. The enemy is not a lion, but he's like a lion. And he comes around and he waits and studies his prey. He doesn't attack you every day, but he waits like a lion waits for the right moment. And when you're weak or vulnerable, that's when a lion attacks, a lamb or a goat. The enemy is like that, and he attacks. And sometimes those attacks can seem quite ferocious. And sometimes when we're under attack, our minds get confounded by the oppression of the enemy. We don't feel victorious. We don't feel great as a Christian. Sometimes we're confounded. We don't know what's going on. But I want to show you something. I want to tell you something about how the enemy often attacks. In the book of Acts, I want us just to have a look at it. The book of Acts, the book of Acts is a story about a victorious church that couldn't be stopped. It spread through the gospel throughout all of Greece and Rome, and the good news of Jesus Christ couldn't be stopped. Just went from nation to nation, went abroad. But before that happened, the church came under a ferocious attack. You can read it later. It's in Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 6, I should say. Stephen, who was being used by God as a mighty evangelist, he was being used by God, preaching the gospel, bringing people to Christ, performing great signs and wonders. Miracles were following his ministry. And then this man who God was raising up at a time where the church was being birthed, he was killed in an open display, really, of satanic power. And it must have felt like the church, almost as though it was over. The attack was so fierce, and Christians. Christianity was outlawed again. Stephen was killed. The whole thing closed down. The whole thing, it looked like Christianity, the whole church seemed to close down at that time. And this was because of just such an outright. Stephen was martyred in an open display of satanic power. And the church must have been dismayed to see who was really one of their brightest stars just be killed. He was just killed. He was stoned. And yet, God had allowed that. One of the reasons he had allowed it, the church was told to go into the world and preach the gospel. It wasn't going into the world. It was only after the death of Stephen that the church scattered from the persecution and they went into the world. But the church was proven over time that it was undefeatable. It was indefeatable. Despite what happened to Stephen, the church went on, the church grew explosively, the church went from faith to faith, from glory to glory, it extended and extended and extended to nation and nation and nation and nation. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people were swept into the kingdom of Christ, renouncing pagan gods, renouncing the gods of Greece and Rome. The church went forward, even though it looked at some stage like it was over. I heard a sermon once, and I'm going to borrow from it here, from a man called Carter Cotton, a wonderful preacher in America. And he said, sometimes spiritual warfare is like this. Sometimes we are winning, but it feels like we're losing. We're always winning because if God is with us, we can't be defeated. He is with us, we're always winning. We're always overcoming. But sometimes it feels like we're losing. And it can feel like we're losing. There's a famous boxing match, which this preacher uses as an illustration. Famous boxing match between Muhammad Ali and George Foreman. And George Foreman was the champion of the world, and Muhammad Ali was a nobody. It was a very famous boxing fight, and George Foreman was a brutal fella. He was a huge fella, and no one had ever defeated him. He was full of muscles and power, and he was so much bigger and so much stronger than Muhammad Ali, and had a huge reputation. And people said he could not lose. He could lose this fight. And so he went into this fight with Muhammad Ali. And Muhammad Ali was a nobody. He was unknown. And the fight began just as everybody expected. George Foreman came out, this big guy, and he just pummeled Muhammad Ali. He just pummeled him and he pummeled him. He punched him and punched him and punched him repeatedly, repeatedly, repeatedly. And then it just looked like he was going to go down at any time. And in the end, Muhammad Ali just, he kind of laid back on the ropes in what is now called the famous rope-a-dope strategy. And he didn't even defend himself. He just lay there on the ropes, and the George Foreman just pummeled him and pummeled him and pummeled him and beat him and beat him and beat him. And this amazing beating was dished out. And at one stage, it looked like the only thing that was holding Muhammad Ali up was the ropes. Nobody really knew, nobody understood at the time, but before the fight, Muhammad Ali had spent hours and hours there. He was the first guy to realize the importance of training his core. So his stomach, the core, the center of him was incredibly strong. And he was able to withstand the beating. And after about three rounds, he smiled at George Foreman. Because George Foreman had punched himself out. And in two rounds later, George Foreman was knocked out. I tell that story because it's a tremendous example of spiritual warfare. We fight, and the enemy is real, and his attacks are serious, and they come against us. And sometimes it feels as though we aren't as strong as he is. Sometimes it looks as though we are in trouble, we're going down. But there comes a time where God's people who know how to war and who know what their weapons are, who know their authority in Christ, there comes a time in every spiritual battle where the battle turns and God comes into it, just like Muhammad Ali's fight with George. The battle turns, and what looks like losing gets turned into victory. For God's people that know how to stand, every time the battle looks like we are losing, God turns it into victory. That's why God's people are called overcomers, more than conquerors. It's not that they don't have battles, but they see the power of God come into their battles at times, often when they feel overwhelmed and the battle is turned. So many times in the scripture you see God's people, particularly before they come into their destinies, before they come into their callings, the enemy comes up against them and tries to stop them. Always before you're about to be promoted, the enemy stands up. If you're anointed, if you're someone that wants to be used by God, if you're doing something at all that is effective for God, that you want to be effective for God, I want to show you something. When David was anointed, David, the king of Israel, was anointed. In 2 Samuel, he was anointed king. Second Samuel 5, verse 17. Second Samuel 5, 17. Now when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. And David heard of it and went down into the stronghold. The Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. So the enemy hears when someone has been anointed by God in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the first thing the enemy did when he heard that David had been anointed is that he went up and he set himself in battle formation against him. David was used to battle because he was a man of the enemy. Before he became king, he fought his worst battle at Ziklag. The enemy came and stole his wives, all his goodies, all his luxuries, all his property. Everything was taken from him at Ziklag. He fought one of his greatest battles at Ziklag just before he became king. You look at the people like Nehemiah in the scriptures who build something for God. Nehemiah built the wall for God. When the temple had been destroyed by the Babylonians, God used just an ordinary man. He wasn't a priest. He wasn't a called guy. He was just a regular fellow who wanted to be used by God. God used this man called Nehemiah to rebuild the wall, which was key to the security of God's people when they came back to Jerusalem. But he built it in the midst of constant battle. There's two guys called Tobias and Sanballat, and they're constantly coming at him trying to destroy the work. They're constantly coming at him trying to tear the work down. They're constantly coming at him, mocking him, threatening him. And so he built this wall, if you read the book of Nehemiah, in the midst of constant, ongoing conflict with the enemy. And for a Christian to grow, you've got to know that if you really want to be used by God, if you want to go on for God, if you want to be effective for God, you're going to have conflict. You're going to have ongoing conflict with the enemy. That's just a reality. And you've got to know about it. You've got to expect it. Paul says we're not naive to the schemes of the enemy. 2 Corinthians 2:11. He said we're not naive to the schemes of the enemy. But, you know, for those people that, as I said, going to have do anything lasting for the kingdom of God, anything enduring for the kingdom of God, you're going to be opposed spiritually. You're going to be opposed. There's key moments, though. Nehemiah was opposed. David was opposed. Moses was opposed by Pharaoh. Joshua was opposed. In the spiritual battle of God's people, though, throughout the history, when God's people have faced opposition, spiritual opposition, there are, for those that have trusted God, there are key moments where even when it looks like we are losing, even when it looks like we're in trouble, there are key moments where the battle is turned. Why? Because God Himself enters the battle. God Himself enters our battles. And for us to be victorious overcomers, we have to be people who know that we don't fight our own battles. God promises to fight them for us. God promises to fight them. God promises to turn what looks like spiritual defeats into victories for those people who trust Him. There's many times in the scriptures where Paul was stoned. There's many times when Paul was extending the gospel and he was stoned and left for dead. He had battles. But in each and every challenge, you'll find God came in for him and lifted him up, raised him back up, and he just went on from city to city, from strength to strength, to glory to glory, in the face of oppositions. In the end, he says, I've run my race. I've won the prize because I fought the battles. I kept the faith. I want us to show you something. If you turn to Judges this morning, this is where to preach from. Judges chapter 20. I feel God wants to minister this word to somebody here today. Here's an account where I can't read the whole passage because we'll be here too long. But in Judges 20, it's I maybe preached on this about a year ago. It's a time where there was a Levite priest. He was a righteous man, and he had a concubine that he was very fond of. And his concubine was raped and murdered. And it was so bad and vile what was done to his concubine that he cut her into 12 pieces and sent a piece of her to each of the tribes of Israel and said, this has been done by the tribe of Benjamin. And what are we going to do? The people came together because they were one. They came together and they said, we have to go up against Benjamin and sort this out. And we got to get justice. And they were thinking that when they came to Benjamin and said, this is what's been done, that the people that had done it would have been handed over and justice would have been dealt out to those people who had raped and murdered this concubine. But when they went up to Benjamin and said, this is what's been done, the people from Benjamin said to them, too bad, we're not going to hand them over. We instead are just going to, you know, stonewall you. And in verse 13 it says, Israel said, now deliver up the men, the perverted men who are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and remove the evil from Israel. But the children of Benjamin would not listen to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel. Instead, the children of Benjamin gathered together from their cities to Gibeah to go to battle against the children of Israel. So here it is. The children of Israel are trying to do the right thing. They just say, hand over this fellow so that we can get justice. And this guy has raped and murdered. And the people of Benjamin say, nope, we're not going to do that. Instead, we're going to affirm their wickedness and we're going to have a war with you. And so the God's people are called into battle. They're the spiritual principles here. Into battle, their cause is just and their cause is righteous. And so the people of Israel who have come up to fight the Benjamites, they've got 400,000 people with them. And the Benjamites have only got 26,000 people. And so the battle breaks out. And I'll read on. You would think that Benjamin would be defeated quickly. But it says, as the children of Israel went into battle, Benjamin came out to Gibeah. On that day they cut down, in verse 21, they cut down 22,000 men of the Israelites. And the people, that is the men of Israel, encouraged themselves and again formed the battle line at the place where they had put themselves in array at the first day. Then the children of Israel went up again, wept before the Lord until evening, asked counsel of the Lord, saying, shall I draw near for the battle against the children of my brother Benjamin? And the Lord said, go up against him. So the children of Israel approached the children of Benjamin in the second day. And Benjamin went out against them from Gibeon the second day and cut down to the ground 18,000 people. All those who drew the sword. So here is here's the people of Israel going up against the enemy. God's people fighting the enemy. And the first time they go up, they lose 22,000. The second time they go up to the battle, they lose another 18,000. So after two battles, they've lost 10% of their force. And they're fighting a righteous cause. The third time they go up, or after they come back from the battle the second time, the people are devastated. The people are, they're crying because they're losing their people. And it says that all the children of Israel, that is all the people, that is all, went up and came to the house of God and wept. They sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. So the children of Israel inquired of the Lord. And Phinehas the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days as the ark of God, saying, shall I yet again go out to the battle against the children of my brother Benjamin, or shall I cease? And the Lord said, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into your hand. It's interesting. On the first time they went up, the first time they went to battle and they lost 22,000 men. It says in verse 18, the children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God to inquire of God. They said, which of us shall go up first to battle against the children? The Lord said, Judah first. It's interesting because in the first occasion when they go up to battle, it says they had already determined to go to battle. And they just inquired of God, which of us shall go to battle? But on the last occasion, when they went up to battle, it says the children went up, wept before God. All of Israel went up. And they inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I yet again go out to battle against the children of my brother Benjamin, or shall I cease? I want to make a point here. The first time they went up, they had the assumption. There was 400,000 of them. There was 26,000 of the enemy. And they said, who's going to go out first? But in their head was, we're going to go to battle. This is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. They lost. And then they lost again. But the third time they went up to God, they all wept before God. And it says this time they all of Israel went up and they wept and they fasted before God. And they said, we don't even know if we should go to war against these guys. We don't even know if should we go or should we just call it quits. And then God said, go again. The difference was when they went to battle in the first instance, they were relying on what the Bible calls the arm of the flesh. They were relying on their natural strength. They were relying on their numbers. And they were defeated. But the last time they went into battle, after two defeats, they handed everything over to God. They trusted him completely. They surrendered the battle to him and said, we're losing. We can't win this battle. We can't win this battle ourselves. And at that moment, the power of God came in. And it's interesting, when the battle was won, it says, the Lord defeated Benjamin before Israel. What's my point? The point is this. We do battle. We have spiritual problems. And God will come into it. But faith is a victory. If we think that we have something, if we look to the arm of the flesh, something of men to fight spiritual battles, and we put our hope in those things, maybe it's your marriage is in trouble. And God says, I'm a redeemer, I can restore, I can whatever. But you said, well, you know what? I'm going to put my hope in some kind of humanistic self-help thing. Well, you may get some help there, but the power of God comes into the battle when we actually look to Him alone and we trust Him to restore it, to renew it, to fight for us. That's when God comes in. The Bible says, all my hope is in you. And finally, what I want to say is this battle particularly, first time they lost, second time they lost, but third time they won. In Ephesians 6, where it speaks about spiritual warfare, you can look there, it says, now when you do battle, stand, 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 and withstand. There's actually four stands. Because sometimes when you take your stand against what the enemy's doing in your marriage, in your business, against your children, you know it's a spiritual attack, and you take your battle, you say, God, I'm putting all my strength in you, I'm trusting you to come in and do what no man can do, I'm trusting you to come in with the power of God and turn the whole thing around. I want to tell you, sometimes it gets worse. And a lot of Christians, my point today, at that moment, they throw in the towel. And I want to tell you, God says you're an overcomer. God says you're the more than a conqueror. But to walk in what God says you are and see defeats turned into victory, the first thing you need to do is put all your trust in God and throw the towel away. You've got to burn the towel. You've got to burn the towel. Because too many Christians, they take their stand and they say, come to me and say, Pastor, but I've done all that. And it doesn't work. I want to tell you, if God is with you and He's promised to never to leave you, He'll never fail you, and He always works if there's real faith. But we get into this self-pity victim mode, it doesn't work. I wonder what the Bible tells you. It says, persevere. Because there are some things God allows you to go through. Because perseverance produces hope, and hope produces character. Or is it the other way around? But what I'm basically saying, that there are some things that God is creating in your character that only patience and endurance produces. So He will allow you to go through battles and not win them straight away. But when you stand and continue to stand, you will see the power of God come in and your faith will explode. But so many people say, I took my stand. I put on my armor. I want you to turn to Ephesians 6 just so you can see this yourself. This is in the spiritual warfare passage. And by the way, the previous passage, the previous verses, Ephesians 6 verse 10 onwards speaks about warfare, but the previous verses speak about the home. Children and parents, fathers and mothers, because that's where most of where warfare happens. But this is, he says, finally, my brothers, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, you may be able to stand against the wile of the enemy. So that's the first stand. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, verse 14, having girded your waist. There's three stands there that make you withstand. There's three stands. We have to be people who understand the importance of persevering. The importance of persevering. The Israelites were called up to a righteous fight. The enemy came against them. It looked like they were losing. Twice it looked like they were losing, but they put all their trust in God, all their hope in God. They continued in what God had called them into, and what happened? God won, turned the battle for them. God says about you, yes, if you want to do anything lasting and worthwhile for God, and I know there are many people here who do, you're going to have an enemy come against you. You're going to have things come against your family. You're going to have things come against your children. You're going to have hellish opposition that sometimes you say, like, what is going on? Doesn't feel like I'm winning today. But I want to tell you, every single one of those battles, God has promised to turn them into victory for you and I. As we stand, and as we take our stand, and as faith and all our heart, our hopes go up to heaven, there comes a time, like with Muhammad Ali's battle, that the power of God comes in and works for his children. You know the Bible says that you are more than a conqueror. You know what comes out of when you have spiritual battles? It's interesting. I want to just say, I'll get to this in a second. When you have spiritual battles, why are we called more than a conqueror? In the Old Testament, so many of the battles where the Israelites were hemmed in and sieged by the Assyrians. They were besieged and they were eating the heads of donkeys, about to eat their children. It was so bad. That was a real battle. But they not only won that battle, God turned the battle for them as they trusted him. But it says after they won the battle, they spent days collecting the silver and gold of the Assyrians. When King Jehoshaphat went into a battle that it was impossible to win against an army that outnumbered him completely, he went in praising, you know, the one where he went in praising and singing. He not only won the battle, but he spent days collecting the booty and the loot that the enemy left afterwards. He actually, in both these cases, Israel actually not only defeated the enemy, but they plundered the enemy. As people who are more than overcomers, God has promised you, when the devil attacks you, when you stand, you put all your faith in him, you continue to stand there and persevere, not only will you win the battle, but you'll end up plundering his kingdom and bringing people out of kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his life. You see this with Paul when he was in prison. When he chose to praise God while he was in prison. It looked like they were going to kill him. But then God's power came into that situation, not only freed him, but they won and saved the jailers and their family from the prison. Satan's kingdom was plundered. I want to just say, your battle is real. But as Christians, you have to know that, yes, you're going to be attacked. Yes, you're going to have battle. But the victory is already won. The victory has been won. We don't war for victory. We war from victory. All we have to do is stand in faith and appropriate victory. And every time we do that, the power of God comes in. And he turns every situation for the good of his people. His power comes in, and delivers. His power comes in and heals. His power comes in and changes what no man can change. You and I, the Bible says, our identity in Christ is that we are more than conquerors. We are destined. The enemy is under our feet. Yes, the battle is real. Yes, oppression comes and all the rest of it. The schemes of the enemy come against you, your family, all the rest of it. But in each and every time, in each and every occasion, God has promised. God has promised to turn what looks like losing into victory. You know, David, he lost everything. His wives and Ziklag lost everything. Didn't know where to go. Had no idea which way the enemy had gone. Did he take my wives that way? Did he take them that way? Did he take them that way? Did he take them that way? That's how the day started with David. So the enemy came. The enemy tried to steal. Tries to steal, kill, and destroy. But David just came. He called Abiathar and the priest and said, just bring the Urim and the Thorim. And in that act, all he was doing, he was just saying, I'm going to choose to trust God in this battle. The enemy is at work against me. I'm just going to choose to trust God. And he trusted God. You know, at the end of the day, he got everything back. Plus, he plundered the enemy. He ended up with more than he lost. You and I have got to know. You and I, to walk into the destiny God has for us, we have to know how to fight. We have to know the battle will come. But we have to know, for those people who stand and trust in, we have a God who enters our battle at the exact right time. And everything that looks like, everything that we look like losing, God has promised to turn around. God has promised to redeem. God has promised to restore. God has promised to heal it. God has promised to deal with everything the enemy's trying to do against you, your business, your family, your children, your marriage, your wife. God says, my power will come into that situation and turn it around every time for those who trust me. Do you believe it? I hope you do. I hope you do. Bible says stand. Stand. Standing. And this morning I woke up. God just was showing me this. That people here are under attack. People here are under spiritual attack. People here maybe under oppression of the enemy, but real attack. Maybe it's your health. You've put your trust in God. God says to you this morning, persevere. God says to you this morning, he is with you. God says to you, dear, this morning, don't lean on any arm of the flesh. Put all your hope in me. And God says to you this morning, he is the same God. He is the same God. When it looked like the early church was losing, he turned what looked like losing into victory. When the people of Israel looked like they were losing, he himself came in and turned what looked like a terrible defeat into a glorious victory. Just bow your head. I prophesy over everyone here this morning that's in a battle. Father, where people feel like they're sinking, where people feel oppression, where people feel like the enemy is going to steal, where people feel like the enemy is going to win. Father, I call your power into their battle this morning. Father, I command victories for Jacob here this morning. Father, everything that looks like it is defeat today, Father, by the power of your hand, move in people's lives. Move in people's lives. Father, everything the enemy is trying to do, Father, we command every attack to become powerless today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we trample down what the enemy is trying to do in people's lives here today. Father, we put all our trust in you. We put all our trust in you. And as we stand, Father, we decree that we are overcomers. We are more than conquerors. That the battle is won. Is won. We put all our trust in you. We praise you, Lord. We praise you that you love us so much that every plan of the enemy you will destroy. And you will take us through to our destiny, to our fruitfulness, to all that you've called us into. And we pray all that in Jesus' mighty name. You know, when it comes to spiritual warfare, one of the most powerful weapons we have, we speak about the armor, but it's actually praise. And when the Old Testament are types, when Israel, under King Jehoshaphat, was confronting an enemy that was too powerful for them, God said to them, this is your strategy. Go into the battle praising me. And as they did, God himself set ambushes for the enemy, and the enemy was destroyed. You know the story that I just ran out, when the Israelites first went up against Benjamin, and they decided in their own strength how they were going to win this battle, how they were going to do it all, that their 400,000 were going to do. They went up to God and they said, this is what we're going to do. How should we do it? You know how God answered them? He said, Judah first. You know what Judah means? Praise. It actually means praise. I just got revelation. It actually means praise. It means whenever you're in a spiritual battle, the first thing you should start doing is start praising him. Praising him that he went to the cross and the victory is already won. Whatever the enemy is trying to do against you, you have a real enemy this morning. I want to tell you, your victory, your deliverance, your overcoming was purchased 2,000 years ago at the cross. You have overcome. You are more than a conqueror. And you need to start praising Jesus in the midst of the battle. Nothing more powerful. Nothing more powerful. The devil will not stay around a heart that continues to praise Jesus. Amen.